Coming up, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tip Snap for March 11th.
Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet for Wednesday, March 11th, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located at the Red Cross headquarters in Uncasville, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Remember that membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is a 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSNET is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. The TIPSNET has three sections. The first is the open net with a round of questions and comments, as I just described. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure that no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. Okay, so this is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I am in Uncasville, and I'm your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. And I just might have a topic to talk about, or whatever. Yes, back to net control. That's what I meant to say.
Net recognizes Kevin K6BDG with a potential topic. Any further check-ins, please call now. Well, I knew the VE session this evening was going to draw some people away from the radio. I didn't think it would be this bad. Well, Kevin, we have, I'm down here at the Red Cross office, and Tom is with Daryl, WA1DD, and Dave, K1DCT, as VE examiners, Tom, WA2RYV, and they have, I think I counted 11 people who will be possibly 12 people taking the exam for various levels. So that pretty well fills that up. And Bob K1RMN and Chuck WNFGW are down here. And they gave a little talk about each of the clubs and kind of filled them in on why becoming a member might be a good idea. But we'll go back to you, Kevin. Any quick comments, and what's your topic?
All right. Good evening, Tim. And we'll look forward to some more check-ins, hopefully. But I'm glad to hear everybody's pitching in down there. That's awesome. I have to reflect that many times I have offered to talk to the study classes and have never once been taken up on that offer. But I have some notions as to why that might be. Anyway, I am doing well, and my topic actually is what we're already talking about. And that's testing, license exams, VE testing. And I thought if we had to, if we get a few folks on the net, it might be fun to talk about experiences you've had taking tests, particularly amateur radio examinations, either interesting experiences or maybe a test session that you think maybe could have been run better. Aside from them putting all the answers up on the overhead projector, that doesn't count. Or anything, or your favorite experience, or your first VE test. So that's kind of what I was thinking about. I think I'll send it back to you, Tim, and then we'll see if you have any more check-ins out there waiting. I did not use good procedure before when I said back to Nat, because you were asking everybody to check in. But it may have been a moot point. KA6PDG. Now I pass it back to net control.
Thank you, Kevin. And yeah, that's a very good topic. As a matter of fact, one of the things I was thinking about was having one of those sessions where you say, okay, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, are you smarter than a technician about ready to take his test? And I saw Bob just walked in. Maybe we'll get him to check in. We'll see. As a matter of fact, and before we go any further, because we've already been talking for at least 5 minutes, well, closer to eight, I'll ask, are there anyone else out there that would like to check into the tips net? If so, please call now. Okay, nobody else wants to check in, but there may be people listening, and that's fine, because I have, over the past couple of months, bumped into several people who have their licenses who have mentioned that they have listened in on occasion, even though, I don't recall them ever checking in, and that's perfectly fine. This is a good hobby for that, and you never know what you're going to learn just by sitting and listening patiently. My mind's a little bit elsewhere, Kevin. I just found out this afternoon that the O Putnam, which is up in the northeast corner, near Putnam, Connecticut, of course, every year we have provided Aries amateur radio operators at checkpoints along that route, and we had been asked to provide that this year, and we got John W1CSP, president of the E-Car Club, involved, and he had gathered together enough people to man all the checkpoints, and then he received word from the Hartford Marathon Foundation that runs the event that plans had changed, and I don't know if the route had changed or not, but they had decided that they did not need amateur radio operators for the event, so everyone was told to stand down. So that kind of, because that's taking place this Sunday, and we just found out today, that kind of set my mind back a little bit. But anyhow, with that, I'm going to go back to you, Kevin, while I still try and sort my mind out.
Oh, well, thanks, Tim, and I completely understand. Wow, that doesn't happen very often. That's rare that sort of thing happens. I think maybe I've heard of it happening once before in my years of amateur radio, and I don't remember where or what the event was. It may have been out west somewhere. That's, yeah, without knowing their reasons and stuff, I think any commentary on the subject might be just conjecture. One thing that comes to mind that surprises me, though, is, of course, they're very familiar, at least I would assume, the decision makers are very familiar with amateur radio and what it does and its capabilities and how it has positively impacted their events in the past. I'm thinking of the, is it the Manchester Road Race, the one that takes place around Thanksgiving? Or I may be confusing a couple of events, but I know they've used ham radio before. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe later on we'll find out more about what the reasons were. We are here to serve and not to push our push ourselves on others, of course. So if they don't need us, fine. But do they need us and not know that they need us? Oh well, as I say, that's probably conjecture. On the subject of testing, I can think of a couple of memories, but I think for this little round or back and forth, as we're hoping and waiting for maybe another station or two to check in, the only one I'll contribute is I was sitting here thinking that volunteer examiners, amateur radio licensed volunteer examiners, have been around longer than most of us think about. We're familiar with the organized VE test program that got started, I have to think, I guess in the 1980s. Maybe it was the late 1980s. And I know it took some time to get up to speed. But for years before that, if an individual wanted to take an amateur radio license exam, it's my understanding from stories I've heard, and I know I've got at least part of this right, and say they lived way out in the Tulies and the sticks, way out in the boonies, where it just wasn't practical to get to an FCC field office, the FCC would authorize certain amateur radio operators near that person to act as volunteers and give them their examination, perhaps at their home even. I don't remember whether it had to be extra class hams. It may have had to be. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know that that was done for years and years. So volunteer examining for amateur radio licenses did not actually start when I think it did in the 80s sometime, but decades before that, and I'm not sure how many. KA6PDG, back to you, Tim.
I agree, Kevin. It's very interesting how over the years the amateur radio general population has been able to take on more and more duties and be able to prove themselves, not only to help out at events if asked. Certainly, I agree, we don't want to push ourselves on anybody. That's the wrong way. Even today with Aries, you know, if we go into a town, EOC or what have you, our goal is not to replace anything there, but to be an extra service that might be useful to them should they have catastrophic communications issues. But certainly not to replace or belittle anything they're doing. And funny you should mention about the situation where people used to have to go to the FCC office and take the test there, and then there were certain areas where they just wasn't the office close enough, so they did allow amateur radio operators to administer the test. We had a fellow, or Tom had in one of his tech classes recently, I think it was about a year, maybe 2 years ago, who had gotten his license that way out somewhere out in the Midwest. I've forgotten the state, but he was so far away that they did allow the local club to administer the test, and he got his license and was up there at the top level, and then he let it lapse. And he took Tom's tech class because I think I'm getting this right, because he had had his license before, he could take the tech VE exam, and if he passed that, then he would if I'm not mistaken, be given his general class. I think he still had to take a test to get the amateur extra again, but he didn't have to work his way all the way up through the ranks. Just taking the tech exam got him the general license. And so that's not bad. That helps out. I know that there's been... Let me reset real quick. I know that quite a few people in this area have had to go up to... I've forgotten the name of the town, but it's up near Hartford, in order to take a VE session. Just, you know, spur of the moment. Not spur of the moment, but... you know, Tom has VE sessions at the end of the class, and but there are no regularly scheduled VE sessions down in this corner of the state. And I know one of the clubs is looking into that, thinking maybe that's something that they can work to rectify. So I'm sure there's going to be more about that later. And oh, Kevin, I did want to mention, even though I know you won't be around, for anybody else that's listening, the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club last night at their meeting decided to hold their field day event this coming June in at Camp Oakdale. And Camp Oakdale has various spots, but this one will be up near the soccer field, which is up on top of the hill, large parking lot. It's near a baseball field, football field, lacrosse field, etc. But it'll be the soccer field that they are looking to use. Anyone else that would like to join the TipsNet at this point, please go ahead and come with your call sign.
This is Whiskey 1 Juliet to pop up portable City of Groton, no traffic, no questions.
Okay, Net recognizes John, W1JLP, portable in Groton. I'm a little far from the repeater, but readable, but I would say more like, and Kevin will correct me if I'm wrong, but you sound like about a 4.7 to me. Readable with enough noise that I have to listen very carefully, and your signal is being portable, not that loud, so I'm going to say 4.7. But I'm going to pass it on to Kevin and see what he thinks before we come back to you. Just to let you know, John, the topic of this evening seems to be talking about VE sessions, because there's one going on this evening for the tech class. And do you have any favorite VE session that you've been to? Or what was your experience with your first VE session? Or was there a VE session you went to that you felt could be improved? Now, while you're chewing on that, I'm going to go ahead and go back to the top of the list and see if Kevin can correct me on my signal report. Kevin, K6PDG, this is KC1TWR with a TipsNet.
K6PDG, good evening to John and maybe others, ultimately. Hope you're well, John. I'll go with the 4.7. I'm going to accept that. Just with the commentary that I think on a repeater, probably the percent quieting is more useful, but that's just my opinion. Yeah, I'd say readability is, you know, we can hear everything you're saying, but maybe if you lowered your voice or were talking real fast, we'd miss a few words. But you're about 50% quieting, so it's very noisy, but also readable. And obviously, if you're on an HT, you're in a that location, John, there's not much you can do about that. It's certainly repeater usable. I don't think W1AN is going to come on and chew you out for being on his repeater because you have a horrible signal. Your signal is not horrible, it's just noisy. But your melodious voice makes up for it. Real quick, Tim, on the testing thing, what was I going to say here? Oh, goodness. No, I didn't just do that, did I? Oh, okay, real quick. When I took my novice, my first test was a novice exam, and that, I think, was always allowed to be given by sort of a volunteer examiner, or maybe you had to have permission, but I don't remember, because I was just getting into the hobby. But anyway, Gordon West gave the whole classroom. They administered the novice exam. But when it came time to take the tech, you still had to take it at the FCC. And my brother and I, who were both getting our licenses, were both busy that day and couldn't make the test session. No problem. Just make an appointment with the FCC and go up to the FCC office in Long Beach and take the test, which is what we did on June 11th of 1981, a day which will live in infamy. And, of course, I was a little apprehensive because years before I had taken a radio telephone commercial exam at the FCC office in New York and did not have a pleasant experience, did not enjoy myself. So I was a little apprehensive, but we went in there and it was like one FCC guy, because I don't know his title, so I'll just call him an FCC guy. Maybe he was a field engineer or something. And me and my brother, the rest of the place was empty, and he sat us down in a small little classroom type thing. My brother sat on one side of the room and I sat on the other, and with the FCC guy, and the FCC guy read me the tests. He was just so friendly and so supportive and so helpful, and I don't mean he gave us any answers, but I couldn't have asked for a better experience. I wonder if the guy was a ham when I think back on it. But it was a totally wonderful experience, and afterwards we chatted with him for a few minutes. I know he had work to do, so it wasn't like we sat and had coffee, but just very cordial and welcoming. So that was a good FCC experience. KA6PDG back to Tim.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And I think you had a question in there for me somewhere, but I don't remember what it was. We'll probably catch it next time going around. I got my license April 2nd, 2014. Was it 2014? Yeah, 2014. And so this was down at the Groton Senior Center, and this was at the conclusion of a tech class that Tom WA2RYV was holding. And at the end, when we took the exam, I didn't realize how nervous I was until I completed the exam and was told that I passed. In a very quiet, low, monotone type of voice from the examiner, and I don't remember who else was there besides Tom, but I remember just kind of the rest of the evening was just kind of a blank to me, because it was just such a relief of the tension that I must have been feeling. So I'm glad that tonight that the presidents of the Tri-City Raceon Club spoke to the people before the exam. Hopefully things sunk in a little bit better, because I know after the exam, anything that was said to me was totally lost. But anyhow, we're going to go ahead and go on to John and see if he has any favorite stories about his VE sessions that he's been through, and go from there. W1JOP, this is the TipsNet with KC1TWR.
Well, I moved from the dinner table to the base radio, so I should be almost full quieted now. Guess you can't stuff your face and be in the radio at the same time, which I did try to do, but fairly unsuccessfully. Anyway, my VE session was up at the ARRL. I was, 19 at the time. I was in contact over email with an old gentleman and who actually got me into the hobby. KA1PQB was the call sign. And, for some reason, when I was looking for VE exams, there was none in this area in New London County, and I kind of wanted to just get it over with, or rush and get it over with, because I already had equipment that was, my equipment for us to do the radio license last. So I did that up at the ARRL in November of, I believe it was 99. And that was pretty cool. Everybody was friendly. Don't remember call signs. I just remember KAOMPQB Doug out of East Lyme. I think he changed his call sign, and I'm not sure where he is now. Didn't want to trip up the repeater, but that was my moment. Anyway, back to that, W1GOP.
Well, that's good, John. And, yeah, I'm glad that things worked well. And it was interesting, you made the comment about buying the equipment first, then getting the license. For me, it was exactly the opposite, and I must be counter to most people. Not only did I not buy a radio, but Chuck W1FJW came to the class, was helping Tom, and he brought a homemade quarter-wave ground plane for a 2-meter radio. Let me reset. And at the end of the class, he asked, anybody want this? You know, in other words, this is a spare I made, and if anybody wants it for when you get your license, here it is. And none of us took him up on it. And I think the main reason was we weren't positive we were going to get our license. So why would we want that unless we got our license? And, of course, once we got the license and passed the test, we forgot all about it. And I think he probably still has it back at home. But that's the way it seems to go. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list, so we'll do another call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Looking for any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we're going to circle back to the top. John, just for your benefit, the... tonight is the last night of the tech class, and we have about 11 people out there taking their exam, and quite a number of the people who are normal regulars on this net are either being VE examiners or down here talking to them about the various amateur radio clubs. So that's why we're kind of short tonight, but I kind of expected we'd be short, just not this short, but we shall see. Okay, we're going to circle back around to the top of the list again, and let's see, I remember taking my first exam, and I don't really remember taking my exam for the general or where I took it. I know it had to be with Tom, and one of these days I'll remember where it was, but it wasn't nearly as strenuous as the first exam, because first one gets you in the door. The second one just opens the door a little wider. It's not that critical. But we shall see how that goes. And I guess I have a question for Kevin. Is when and where did you take your last exam? And was it memorable in any way? KU6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Well, that's a worthy question. And good comments, John. I enjoyed that story. Oh, by the way, KA1PQB, knew him well. Awesome guy, always so helpful, particularly to new hams, but he was active with the Scrams Club. He did a lot of things. And I think he's still with us, but maybe in some frail health. I'm not really sure. Certainly missed the guy. He helped me out a lot with my computer back in the days when I had a wood-burning computer. Hi. So, yeah, I often think about KA1PQB and hope that the Lord is looking kindly on him. Now, you asked me a question. So my most least recent successful VE test taking was in Oregon when I got my advanced, and that was memorable. Since then, I've taken the extra class test probably 5 or 6 times and failed it. Interesting, that comes up because I was just talking to N1SPX about that the other night, and he's kind of got me talked into going for it again, so I may be at the next VE test session. I'm not promising, but it's something, you know, maybe I should give one more try before I get so old I can't remember where my nose is. Let me reset. And I'm given to understand the extra exam has changed a bit since the last time I took it. Where was the most recent one? I don't know. I want to say it was down in East Lyme or something down on the shoreline. And I think it was, no, wait a minute, was that the most recent one? I'm really not sure, Tim. But on my, when I got my advanced license, it was interesting. One of the VEs, and he read the exam to me, and, you know, because not being able to see, that's how I took it. He was a good friend of mine. He had, he actually had sold the radio station that I worked at a couple of weeks before I went to work there. He was the former owner and general manager of the radio station I worked at in Coos Bay. And we became good friends. Flew around in his airplane together and did ham radio stuff together and got to know his family. We had Christmas dinner with them a couple of times. Anyway, he was one of the VEs, so he read me the test and all is well, and he goes back, okay, look this over, just sit and relax, and I'll be back in a minute. And two or three minutes later, he comes back. He says, Kev, did you study for this? And I said, yeah. He says, Kevin, you can level with me. Did you really study for this? Or, I mean, hams do it all the time. You know, they take a test without studying. It doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Did you really study for this? And I said, nervously, yeah. He said, well, congratulations. You passed with flying colors. That was very memorable. I will never forget it, and I will never forgive Van. He said, we remain good friends today. He's out in Oregon. KA6PDG, back tonight.
Well, that is a good story, Kevin. That is very good. Quick question about the KA1PQB. Was that Earl Johnson?
Correct, yeah. I think Doug was his middle name or his nickname. I don't remember which. It probably was his middle name. Yeah, and I wouldn't have thought of that except you just reminded me. Yes, that was his name.
Okay, I just looked him up, and apparently he does have a new call sign, and he now lives in Lisbon, and his call sign is W1EDJ, Whiskey 1, Edward, Delta, Japan.
Got it written down, thank you. That sounds familiar now that I write it down. But thank you. I'll have to track him down. Give him a phone call or something. KA6PDG. Sorry for taking too much time there.
That's okay. I'm sure John appreciated the information as well. And the last time the record shows that he updated it was back in April 2nd of 2010. So we know, at least as of then, everything was going well. So from there, we'll go ahead to John. And, let's see, what was I going to mention to you, John? It'll come to me my next round, I think. But, talking about VE sessions and what have you. Have you been to other VE sessions that you care to comment about? W1JOP, this is KC1TWR.
Yeah, there was a couple. I'm, you know, kind of embarrassed to say this, but by trade, I'm not a technical person, so all this radio stuff, radio business, I had to, nobody else in my family was an amateur radio operator. For some reason, I stumbled into it by way of scanners. And what I'm trying to say is I had to take the initial exam twice, which I guess is not terribly a big deal. But I took one the first time with the Westbrook group. I forgot the N1QLF somebody else, I can't remember the call sign, was actually the Shoreline Club at Old Seabrook. I took the first run there, passed the first element, then passed the second, so I got a certificate of, I don't know what they call those, but, you know, So the URL was the second one I took, and I got a nice little tour up there and whatever, and basically that calmed my nerves, because I knew I bought all this equipment, and I really wanted to use it, and you know, so the second time kind of, I was a little more nerve-wracking than the first, but, you know, so I got one element done, and I did two elements, basically, in separate sessions, but that's how I came to be. This is W1JOP.
Well, John, you know what they say. Even if it takes baby steps, as long as you're moving forward, and it may have taken you passing the elements at different times, but you were still successful in the end, and that's really what matters. Next round, I'm probably going to ask you what equipment it was that you had bought that you were so eager to get to use and start using. As far as your experience with the shortwave radio, with scanners and listening to shortwave radio and so forth before getting a license, for myself, I can say that I heard a little bit of that on my grandparents' radio, and that was about it. It was mainly them being on CB radios that got me started with amateur radio, but see how that goes. Anyhow, reached the bottom of the list, long list though it may be. So, I'm going to do another call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. You do not need to be a member to join the TipsNet this evening. Any and all amateur radio operators are certainly welcome to join. This is KC1TWR. Tim, I'm in Uncasville. That's your net control. Anyone else that would like to join, please call now.
This is... Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Alpha Yankee, Mark in Groton. I do have a couple of comments.
Okay, NET recognizes Mark in Groton, KB1RAY. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Mark, we'll give you instant service, especially because you have some comments, so please proceed with your comments.
KB1RAY. Well, I'll start off, they're not really in any good order, but Kevin was talking about getting his extra. I'm actually still... Looking to do that myself. So when there is a another VE session, I might also join him and at least try. A note for anyone that is going for their extra license this year: the current question pool expires at the end of June, so the new extra question pool will start, assuming everything goes well, July 1st, I'm guessing. So that's that. Let me reset here. As far as exams I've taken, I believe I passed them both the first time. I don't have any evidence otherwise, but I know I passed the first one at the Gales Ferry Firehouse. I was during one of the events there. It was not the auction. It was something else. It was some sort of like a swap fest or something like that. And I actually went there with my previous boss, who was also interested but not ready to take the test. So he just kind of looked around and picked up a couple of things, and I was upstairs taking the exam. I do still have the certificate, and I don't remember the call sign of the people that were there. Unfortunately, he never got licensed. I don't know if he's still interested, but I should give him a call and find out. My general class, of course, I took the class with Tom, and did the exam afterwards. That was a very good experience. Definitely recommend it to anyone listening that wants to get their license, either the tech or the general. Not sure when they're doing the next general class. And let me reset one more time here. As far as my first radio, I did look back. I have been listening for a little bit here. I purchased it a couple of days after I got my license. That's my story on that. It was a portable that I do still have, and it does still operate. Let's see. Oh, and the first net that I checked into, of course, was the Horizontal Engineers, which was a very exciting time back with just a little portable. With that, KB1RAY, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Mark. That's a lot of good information, and especially about the fact that the pool for the advanced is going to change in June. Keeping on that subject, maybe there's enough interest with enough people looking to get their extra to form a little study group. I know Tom won't teach a class in the advanced extra for a number of reasons, but maybe it might not be a bad idea to form a little study group. Anyhow, myself, I'm also going to be looking to get my extra as well. My first radio was also a portable, a Yaesu F265, which I still have. And I cannot remember the first net I did check into, to be honest. But it must have been a net. What can I say? Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. I'll do a very quick call out. Anybody else want to join? Please call now. Okay, that only took a couple of seconds, and we'll go right back to the top of the list. And with Kevin, I guess, what are your thoughts about the fact that the test is going to change? They're going to update the test. And my experience, limited though it may be, is that when they upgrade the test, they do add certain new elements to it, or new questions, and they remove some of the questions they feel are not as pertinent anymore from the pool. But a lot of it stays the same. So what's your thoughts on that? I'd be curious to know what your first radio and first net was. KU6PDG, KC1TWR.
All right, thanks, Tim, and welcome, Mark. And very good comments, Mark. Yes, I had noticed the question pool changes June 30, but I'm glad you reminded me of that. The other thing, that's not a bad idea about a study group, Tim. And I'm thinking, and I know I've mentioned this to one or two folks, I believe to you also, or just in conversation on Nets, but I've been in touch with Tony over at NFA, the advisor. I can never pronounce, spell, or remember his last name, but I do have it in the other room. He's the faculty advisor and has been for a long, long time for the Amateur Radio Club over there. And they don't have any kids licensed at the moment. But he's hoping that some of them will be ready around the end of May, and he would like to have a test session available for the kids to take. And I'm planning to keep in touch with him on that, but I'd be happy to... I imagine you guys have, or Tom has. I think I gave Tom his contact info. I did give him Tom's information. But possibly the end of May would be neat if we could put together a session. And if it happened to be over at NFA, that'd be real convenient for me. and get a couple of those kids licensed too. My first radio and my first net. My first radio, I'm laughing because it's so different from radios nowadays, but was an ICOM handheld. It was the ICOM 2A, not even the 2AT. It did not have any DTMF buttons on it. It was the 2A. The 2AT, I believe, was the first radio that ICOM came out with, at least in the portable category, handheld category, that had DTMF capability. Autopatch was still sort of coming into its own, or I guess a lot of people didn't feel they needed to use Autopatch. I'm not sure. And I did go to a 2AT eventually, and then the O2AT. I loved ICOM. But the first radio I had was a 2A, your basic handheld, and it had three knobs on the top, three little wheels that you turned, and there was also a little two-position switch next to those wheels. That apparatus was for tuning your frequency. Your three wheels for the megahertz and the two digits after the megahertz, between 4 and 8, from 144 to 148. And then the two-position button was for your 5 kilohertz offset. So if you needed to go to 146.955, you would flip that switch so that the last digit would be a 5. And the radio had, obviously, a volume control and an on-off button. And I think that was all there was to that radio. My first net... I don't remember, though my first net was probably after I'd been licensed for a couple of weeks, was a traffic net, I think. But interestingly enough, I think, and I have the log still, it was either one night or two nights after I got my license, my technician license, I ended up getting involved with an emergency call. It was an off-duty California highway patrolman who was a ham, and came up on the repeater and had gone in pursuit of a very dangerous drunk driver, very dangerous all over the road, that kind of thing. And had I not been a police dispatcher in the community at the time, where I knew the secret phone numbers to call, it might have taken a lot more time to get him the backup that he needed. But boy, was that weird. Just got my amateur radio license, and I did something like that. The incident lasted a good half an hour or more, and I didn't sleep at all that night. KA6PDG, back to net.
Oh my, that's quite the story. It certainly must have made, well, it obviously made quite an impression on you, and certainly drove home real quick. The benefits of having an amateur radio. Thankfully, you weren't a police dispatcher, so you had the wherewithal to get him some backup real quick. Wow, that is quite good. I like that. Although I'm sure the drunk driver didn't like it when he finally did get pulled over. Hopefully it ended up without any incidents. Okay, let's move on to John, W1JOP, and I can't remember if we asked you what your first net was, or maybe you did say it, and I failed to write that down. So we'll, with everything that's been said, John, what do you think? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
Well, scanners were... believe it or not, I think it was the Radio Shack Realistic Scanners. First I started listening to CB, you know, then I, you know, decided to venture on from there because I'm not really a language person. I don't use foul language and whatever, so CB didn't really do anything for me. So somehow I stumbled across ham radio, and that was probably as early as 96. I know I didn't get licensed until 99, but I did I did a fair amount of listening before actually getting licensed, so I kind of knew what I was doing. But my first radio, 2 meter radio, was a Kenwood something or other. I forgot what it was. It was just straight 2 meters at that point. I still have the same Astron power supply that I started with, so I haven't died yet. And I don't think it will, because Astron, I think, makes pretty good products. My first net, believe it or not, I used to listen to Kevin way back when he used to run the WeatherNet, or he was very active with that. So that was Wednesday nights on the 06 repeater. And I always listened to that one, but the first night I actively checked into was the Horizontal Engineers, and that's sort of where I cut my teeth. I was quite radio shy, so that's where I decided to introduce myself. And my first QSO was, believe it or not, was WA4QXT, Walt out of New London. I don't know if he's, I think he's probably not around anymore, but very nice gentleman. He was always involved with the traffic nets, or heavily involved with the traffic net, back when it was the race on traffic net, or something to that effect. Anyway, I took it up enough time, so this is W1GOP.
Okay, thank you, John. Good comment. And, yeah, it's interesting. You still have that same power supply, but Astron must be a pretty stable and pretty, like the old slant six. And so that's two people who had their first net on the Horizontal Engineers. That's been around for quite a while and been a staple for quite a while. And the best person who knows all about that is Mark, KB1RAY. This is KC1TWR with a tips net.
KB1RAY. Well, I'm definitely not an expert. I'm just running it. it was a lot of fun checking in and you know, talking with everyone when I first got my license. And as things progressed, and you know, we ended up losing the primary net control at the time, which was Ed, KA1RMV. You know, I decided to kind of keep it going. And it's interesting because, you know, I run the net, you know, about three times a week, you know, give or take. And a lot of the times we have people check in that they used to check in years and years ago, and they'll tell similar stories about how, you know, their first something happened on the net, or, you know, a night that they remember on the net, and things like that, and they're always glad to hear that it's still going. Maybe not completely continuously, but it's been pretty good. Let's see, additional comments. I did check online. There is some additional information about the changes, which the actual pool for July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2024 has been released already. The number of questions was reduced, and some of them were modified and things like that, as was mentioned. So there is some information about the new pool, and you can actually go online and read it as well. The other thing I wanted to bring up, now that we're talking about you know, VEs and stuff, is becoming a VE. That is still on my list as well. I know I've spoken with Tim before about it, and he encouraged me to become a VE, even though I'm not an extra licensee at the moment. You can still give the tech exam as a general, but that is something I'm also looking into, so I wanted to throw that into the mix. let's see, KB1RAY, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you to you for digging up that extra information about the extra pool of questions, or the extra class pool of questions. And, go ahead and become a VE. Granted, you can't, until you get become an amateur extra, you can't do the general or amateur extra, but there's a lot of technicians out there, and one of the clubs locally is talking about maybe having a regularly scheduled once a month kind of VE session, so that people in the area who are self-studying will have a place to go to take an exam without having to drive up to Hartford and what have you. So that you can always join in on that. Okay, we have reached the end of the first section. I should have given a fair warning about that, but time is of the essence. It's about 3 minutes of. We're going to jump right into the second section. But first, anyone else that would like to join, please call now.
May I do 30 seconds before you move on, PDG?
Yep, go ahead, Kevin.
Just in response to something John said, because I knew WA4QXT pretty well. Unfortunately, he did become a silent key, and it was either last year or the year before, and I was asked to do a memorial service for him for the Southeastern Connecticut Community Center of the Blind, where he was very, very active, but Walt did become a silent key. Quite possibly the friendliest ham I ever met. He would talk to anybody about anything, and he loved to tell stories. But Walt is, Walt now has his extra, extra license. K6PDG, back to net.
Thank you very much for that update, Kevin. Sorry to see another good operator go up to the next level, but it's something we all must face now and then, or at some point. Okay, we're going to move on to the second section, which is, does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Quickly, I'll mention that there is a breakfast tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock at the Old Times Restaurant. It's usually attended by somewhere between 8 and 12 amateur radio operators, and it's good fellowship for all. Runs from 7 to 8 a.m. sharp. And on Saturday morning at the Uncasville Diner, there is another group who meets there starting at 8 a.m. And I think that's it for the moment. So I'll open it up to anyone who has any announcements or about special events or items of interest. Please call now. Okay, and let's see, next Thursday is the Race On meeting, but I'll remind everybody again next week. Okay, we'll move on to the third section real quick, which is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, this is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club weekly tips net. Are there any additional check-ins? If so, please call now before we close the net. Okay, that was the last call, and we have no further check-ins. I'm going to close the net at this time. I would like to thank Kevin and John and Mark for participating in the pen in the net, and also thank all those who stood by and listened and hopefully got something out of the net this evening. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, which was last night, at the American Red Cross office at number 1031 on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. The meetings start at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at the www.tricityarc.com. We want to thank John W1AN for the use of the W1DX Salem repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. And before I close, I do want to make mention that at the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club meeting last night, they made a determination that they would be holding their field day this year at Camp Oakdale, and hopefully the soccer field. It's way up high and has a good visibility, high trees, and should provide a good venue and a large parking lot. I will now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone a good evening and 73.